This is Radio Superior 1951, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice of the land of beautiful lakes, Tim Michaels, in for a vacationing Jack McKenna. It's Thursday, April 5th, 1951. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. We have some great music and a new advice columnist, the Shrinking Shrink.
You mean a diminutive doctor of psychology?
Well, the program director sent him over. I think he's getting some free sessions out of the deal.
And I have to do the interview?
He'll give you some advice on worrying, just what the doctor ordered for you, Lou. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Thomas Struza's Corner Grocery. Get 2 pounds of fresh smelt for just 39 cents. Struza's Grocery in South Superior. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Tim, and good listeners. Atomic bomb spies are sentenced to death, and Korean GIs will be rotated out of the battle zone. We begin our world report from New York.
This is Stan Turner in federal court in New York City. Husband and wife Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, convicted of stealing American atom bomb secrets for Russia, were sentenced today to death in the electric chair. Federal Judge Irving Kaufman told them, quote, "I consider your crime worse than murder," unquote. He set the week of May 21st for the execution. Kaufman says, and we quote again, "The trial indicates quite clearly that an enemy nation is employing secret as well as outspoken forces among our own people," unquote. Both Rosenbergs, a 32-year-old electrical engineer and his 34-year-old wife, showed emotion at the sentence. Mr. Rosenberg's jaw muscles tightened. His tiny wife grasped a chair and breathed heavily. The third defendant, 34-year-old radar expert Morton Sobel, was sentenced to 30 years in prison. Kaufman says his guilt was of a lesser degree. Mrs. Rosenberg's brother and star prosecution witness, former Army Sergeant David Greenglass, pleaded guilty. The 29-year-old gave testimony that helped convict the Rosenbergs. He will be sentenced tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Judge Kaufman told the Rosenbergs, quote, "Plain, deliberate murder is dwarfed by your act. I searched the records and my conscience for some reason for mercy, but I am convinced that I would violate the trust placed in me if I showed any leniency to the Rosenbergs," end quote. The Rosenbergs and Morton Sobel were convicted last week of obtaining atomic secrets for Russia. The court characterized the espionage activities of the Rosenbergs as, quote, "dirty business." Quote again, "This does not reflect the courage of Nathan Hale for his country. This is a dirty business, betrayal of one's own country," unquote. Kaufman told Sobel, "There was no doubt about your guilt, and while it may be gratuitous on my part at this point, I note my recommendation against parole." Judge Kaufman says he is convinced of Sobel's guilt, but says the evidence does not point to any act on his part in the atom bomb project. In New York, this is Stan Turner.
Hello, this is Max Jordan on the 38th parallel on the front lines in Korea. American task force thrust 8 miles inside Red Korea today at the spearhead of an Allied drive along 40 miles of the Western and Central Front. This is the deepest penetration into Red Korea of the current Allied drive. The U.S. 8th Army communique reports the force met only light resistance in its patrol to the vicinity of Cheol, 8 miles north of parallel 38 on the Ujongbu-Kubwa Road. Allied artillery blazed the path for the United Nations forces driving toward the biggest communist troop mass of the year. Warplanes rocketed and firebombed the fiercely resisting Reds. The communists fought back with mortars, artillery, and small arms. Allied ground commander General Matthew Ridgway joined his troops on the central front north of Chuncheon. He says things are progressing very smoothly. British troops cracked a hard, stubborn Red force northwest of Chuncheon today, but had not crossed the 38th parallel yet today. In Red, North Korea, this is Max Jordan.
This is Washington, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. President Truman says the danger of a third world war is just as great as it ever was. The president told a news conference today he hopes there never will be a World War III, and he is doing all he can to prevent it. The president would not comment on a speech yesterday by House Speaker Sam Rayburn that large numbers of troops are massing in Manchuria, and they are not all Chinese communists. He did say Rayburn is a truthful man. Mr. Truman was asked whether General Douglas MacArthur has been authorized to bomb communist bases in Manchuria. He replied, "That is a question that cannot be answered because it is a military strategy question." However, military leaders here have left no doubt that if the Reds enter the air war in Korea, their bases will be subjected to bombing. Mr. Rayburn made his remarks about the danger of world war during House debate yesterday on the Universal Draft Military Training Bill. A contradictory statement by Texas Senator Tom Connally added to the puzzlement of House members. In the Senate, Connally said, quote, "There will be no world war this year. The Russians will not defy the free nations of the world," end quote. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
Hightower here in the nation's capital. The Army will begin to bring back from Korea men who have long engaged in battle there. They will be replaced by fresh troops. Army Secretary Pace announced the rotation plan today. The first battle veterans should sail from Korea within a few weeks. In a statement, Pace emphasized that the rate of rotation will depend on replacements to the war theater and maintaining combat effectiveness of all units now in Korea. He says the exchange of fresh men for battle veterans will eventually run to about 20,000 each month. The Army says this rate may be reached by early summer. Later, some men from Korea may be reassigned to garrison duty in Japan or other parts of the Far East Command, such as Okinawa. Veterans returned to the United States will be given a chance for home leave before proceeding to their next duty stations. In Washington, this is John Hightower.
Pulling American forces out of Korea would be a fatal mistake, according to National Commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Commander Charles Rales says that if we duck out of Korea now, South Korea, Japan, and the Philippines, and the Malayan Peninsula would go communist. From Raleigh, North Carolina, trustees of the University of North Carolina voted yesterday to admit qualified Negroes to the all-white institution. Negroes would be allowed only to university schools offering courses not provided by the state's Negro colleges. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Thomas Struz's Grocery and Grimshaw's Market.
Thank you, Lou. Boy, we got some specials for you at these stores today. If you like pork sausage, we've got some on sale at 39 cents a pound, and bacon squares are only 29 cents a pound. And for you fish lovers, fresh smelt going for 39 cents, and fresh herring at only 22 cents. Plus, they've got Finn and Hattie, 59 cents a pound, plus Thuringer Summer Sausage, 63 cents a pound. Some great, great buys for you at Thomas Struz's at 6307 Tower Avenue in Superior, or Grimsrud Market, 1306 North 5th. Blue, back to you.
The Department of Defense says Corporal Bernard Enum, son of Mr. and Mrs. Fred Enum of Menominee, was killed in action in Korea. Private Philip DeBragon, son of Mr. and Mrs. Edward DeBragon of Odena in Ashland County, was wounded. Corporal Dwayne Stilley, son of Mrs. Marie Stilley of Rice Lake, also wounded in Korea. Presbyterian men will hear an address on civil defense. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
The men of Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church will hear about plans for the community in the event of an atomic bomb attack. Douglas County Civil Defense Director Lawrence Ryan will outline what has been done and what needs to be done with a local plan. Mr. Ryan will show the film Pattern for Survival, a companion to the film You Can Beat the A-Bomb. Program Chairman George Sundquist will introduce Mr. Ryan. A social hour will follow, Lou.
It looks like taverns will remain closed on Sunday in Superior. City Council President Clyde Thomas and City Attorney George Flynn told City Manager Robert Bomberger that since Tuesday's overwhelming vote by the citizens to keep bars closed on Sunday, the City Council should comply with their wishes. A pioneer in Twin Ports journalism has passed away. Retired editor of the Duluth Herald and News Tribune, William Thompson, started his newspaper career in St. John's, New Brunswick, Canada, in 1877. 10 years later, he joined the Duluth Tribune as city editor and then became editor of the Duluth News. When the newspapers consolidated into the News Tribune, he was appointed managing editor until he retired in 1941. Thompson died at his winter home in Corpus Christi, Texas. Wisconsin's La Follettes aren't in the headlines these days, but their retirement from public life is getting scrutiny by astute political observers.
For 62 years, this name dominated Wisconsin politics. Then in 1947, the last of the La Follettes, young Robert, relinquished his seat in the U.S. Senate to Joseph McCarthy. Robert and brother Philip, Wisconsin's former governor, have settled into private life. Robert is an economic consultant in Washington. Philip practices law in Madison. A La Follette had been in the political limelight since 1885, when the elder Fighting Bob became a member of the House of Representatives. Soon the family was nationally known, setting a modern-day record for public service. The senior La Follette was a member of the House for 6 years, served 3 terms as governor of Wisconsin, and was the Progressive Party's nominee for president in 1924. He died in 1925 in his 4th consecutive term in the United States Senate. The younger Robert was selected to fill his father's unexpired term, coming to the Senate as the youngest senator since Henry Clay. He was reelected 3 times, but lost in the Republican primary to McCarthy in 1946. Younger brother Philip was Republican governor of Wisconsin from 1931 to 1933 and progressive governor from 1935 to 1939. In 1934, Robert and Philip founded the Wisconsin Progressive Party, which was dissolved in 1946. It's too early to rewrite the La Follette dynasty. Robert today is only 56, and Philip is 54. In Madison, this is Arthur Bystrom speaking.
It looks today like the battle of the weather elements is about over, and the winter has finally surrendered. Yesterday brought a warm 54 degrees, and people are shedding their winter apparel. Public Works Director Thomas Bastarash is in high spirits over the way in which the water from the melting snows is being eliminated. Bastarash says the ditching plan inaugurated a year ago is helping tremendously carry the water away. Tim?
Thanks, Lou. You gotta love springtime. Tonight, the temperature will dip to 32 degrees. Scattered showers are forecast for tomorrow with a light southwest wind changing to northeasterly.
I'll tell you what, pal. This was one long winter. Record snowstorms, the biggest since the 1880s. Remember? That's the one that Jack forecast would bring no snow, just cold.
Well, thanks to you and everybody, Jack probably won't forget.
Then the record cold in January of 52 below zero. We're out of the woods, though, I think.
Don't jinx it or we'll get a blizzard. It's music time. Here's Jimmy Rogers and his latest Kisses Sweeter Than Wine on the Martin and McKenna Knock on Wood Show.
Well, when I was a young man and never been kissed, I got to thinking it over how much I had missed. So I got me a girl and I kissed her, and then, oh Lordy, well, I kissed her again, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Sweeter than wine.
Well, I asked her to marry and be my sweet wife. I told her we'd be so happy for the rest of her life. I begged her and I pleaded like a natural man. And in the whoops, oh Lordy, well, she gave me her hand, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Wine. Sweeter than wine.
Well, we worked very hard, both me and my wife, working hand in hand to have a good life. We had corn in the field and wheat in the bin, and in the whoops, oh Lord, I was the father of twins, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Sweeter than wine.
Well, our children ain't numbered just about four, and they all had a sweetheart and knocking at the door. They all got married and they wouldn't hesitate. I was a whoops, oh Lord, the grandfather of eight, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Sweeter than wine.
Well, now that I'm old and I'm ready to go, I
so lordy, will I do it all again? Because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Jimmy Rogers and Kisses Sweeter Than Wine on KUWS. Attention, union men, if you're in South Superior and you need some refreshments, visit the Hardy Bar. You'll be served by Ellis Gray, the only union bartender in South Superior, a proud member of the Bartenders International Union Local 132. Say hi to Ellis Gray and enjoy your stay at the Hardy Bar, 1811 Central Avenue. George G. Newton is next. Then it's the Shrinking Shrink.
I don't think the good doctor would be too crazy about being called the Shrinking Shrink.
I should hope not. After all, that's his job, to keep all of us from being too crazy. Here's Bobby Helms and My Special Angel on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Angel, angel, oh.
Bobby Helms and My Special Angel on KUWS. And here comes our own special angel.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear George G. Happy birthday to me.
George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty.
Otherwise known as the Singing Realtor.
I may be singing and happy on the outside, but I don't know. It's hard not to be worried these days.
Does this mean no birthday cake?
Apparently, he's moved on.
I mean, something as innocent as the Presbyterian Men's Club, meeting over coffee and cake.
I sure could go for some of that.
And instead of a nice evening sharing stories or playing cards, what do they do? So tell me, what do they do?
Argue over who gets the last piece of cake.
Enough with the cake.
What cake? Somebody bring cake?
Well, it's your birthday, so I assume...
I'm still back at the what-do-they-do part.
Well, thank you. I got some rich, creamy chocolate cake that the missus whipped up for me to share with those guys. And they watch a movie called You Can Beat the A-Bomb.
Can this conversation get any more disjointed?
Creamy homemade chocolate cake.
Well, anyway. Guys, I got a real beauty for you. It's a duplex on Ogden Avenue. 7 rooms and a bath on the first floor, 6 rooms and a bath on the second, full basement, 2 heating plants, corner lot. It's a steal for $4,700.
A steal for you or for the buyer?
I'm glad you can still be a kidder, Tim Boy, in these atomic times.
Atomic times sound bleak.
Well, this'll cheer you up. I got a store in the growing college district. It'll take about $7,000 to finance.
Oh, no.
Is Lou all right?
I think you just dropped your own atomic bomb on him.
Oh. Well, hang in there, Lou. Someone get him a glass of water or beer or something. Okay, but next. I've got a 2-story home on Butler Avenue. 3 rooms on each floor. Bath upstairs. Good cement foundation. Just $2,000. How's Lou doing?
He stopped inhaling anyway. Now exhale, Lou.
Oh, good. Good. Now, finally, folks, I got a great deal for a home on Lake Amnicon. Got 3 rooms on the first floor, 2 on the second, running water in the house.
They'd better catch it or everything will get wet.
Oh, cute, Tim Boy, just cute. Well, all this, right here on the lake, it's only $1,900, that's right, $1,900. You know, that civil defense thing and all this talk about surviving an atomic blast, how can you help but worry?
Stick around, George. The shrinking shrink is next. He might be able to give you courage and give Lou a heart.
Why does this sound more like we're on the Wizard of Oz?
This one's for you, Georgie. This is the Toon Weavers by Georgie's Big Day on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Happy, happy birthday, baby. Although you're with somebody new, thought I'd drop a line to say that I wish this happy day would find me beside you. Happy, happy birthday, baby. No, I can't call you my baby. Seems like years ago we met on a day I can't forget, 'cause that's when we fell in love. Do you
Toon Weavers and happy, happy birthday, baby, on KUWS.
With great trepidation, let's welcome Dr. Richard Kleiner with our newest feature, What's on Your Mind? Good afternoon, Doctor.
Hello there. Are you worried? Do you let minor inconveniences like a war or high prices or atomic bombs upset you?
Yes, no, and yes, not really, and hi back to you.
Sorry? I don't understand. Let me check my hearing aid.
That won't help, Dr. Kleiner. Tim was simply answering your questions. And to make things especially maddening, he did it backwards. Why did you do it backwards?
It's easier that way. I don't have to remember so far back.
Interesting. Very interesting case. I should return to the Tim mind a little later. But everybody, the fine art of worrying is becoming so widespread that it even has big business worrying. The DuPont Company has devoted 5 pages about worrying in their employee magazine, Better Living. See, the idea of this remarkable article is to get people to stop worrying and start working. Take the case of HY. I mean, we have to use initials because of the anonymity is vital.
Maybe you should use the initials TM.
cute, LM. Cute.
You see, HY always worried. If there was nothing to worry about, he'd worry things were going too well for last. He worried about supporting 4 children, a wife, 2 first cousins, and a dog appropriately named Carefree. He even worried about the price of dog biscuits. This is true. Mark my words, this is gospel truth, all of it. He worried so much. He was unable to work and about to lose his job. His foreman told him to see a doctor. The doctor checked him over very carefully, completely. Now, this is most remarkable. The doctor advised him to get looser shoes. Yeah, true story. His work improved, his health improved, and he ran out and bought Carefree a box of dog biscuits, all because of looser shoes.
If you ask me, I think the good doctor's fedora is too tight.
Sometimes I feel trapped, unable to escape bad interviews.
Well, that's how to lick worry. Analyze your problem. Find out the crux of the matter, and then try to correct it. Yeah?
What if the problem never goes away? No matter how hard you try, but it constantly reoccurs.
I see. Well, I have a solution. Eggplant.
What university did you say you attended?
I kid not. This is a good idea. Find a worry substitute. If you're worried about Russians dropping atomic bombs, then worry instead about eggplant. Example, why is it so purple?
Or why does it taste so bad?
Why did they call it eggplant when it doesn't grow eggs?
Yeah, you got it, by golly. And if eggplant is too worrisome, try some pleasant worrying like, say, about toothpaste. How do they get it in the tube?
You know, I've always wondered about that. I think they take a lump of toothpaste and wrap a tube around it.
Wouldn't it be fun to squeeze a whole tube of toothpaste in someone's face?
But then you'd have to worry if you can run faster than that person.
That's our first and hopefully last installment of What's on Your Mind with Dr. Richard Kleiner.
Perfect for our own shrink. Here's the McGuire sisters and Something's Gotta Give on the Martin and McKenna Worry War Show.
When an irresistible force such as you meets an old immovable object like me, you can bet as sure as you live. Something's gotta give. When an irrepressible smile such as yours warms an old implacable heart such as mine, don't say no because I insist. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna be kissed. So on guard, who knows what the fates have in store. From their vast, mysterious sky, I'll try hard, ignoring those lips I adore. Bye.
mind. Chances are some heavenly star spangled night. We'll find out as sure as we live. Chances are some heavenly star-spangled night. We'll find out as sure as we live.
The McGuire Sisters and Something's Gotta Give on KUWS.
Hey, fellas, you know that Kleiner guy is all right. I mean, there's so much worry in this world, especially the real estate biz.
You mean things like high interest rates and termites?
Or if this program will never end.
Gentlemen, please. A sense of humor is the best cure. But there's one other solution, a darker solution. One that many in my profession do not like. They frown on it. I dare not bring it up.
All right, then. Wrap it up, Tim.
No. Tell me. Please, Doc, tell me.
Pretty please.
All right, then. I'll tell. I'm dying.
That's awful.
So is Lou. So is George.
What?
That's horrible.
I've been dying a slow death for the past 10 minutes.
Well, so are you. You, Tim, you are dying.
That's even worse.
No, this is good. This is very good to understand. You see, if we realize that we are dying, that our days are numbered, only then can you stop worrying and live your life. Only then can you realize how precious God's gifts are, how precious each person is.
Hey, guys, we're precious.
I think you're precious, too, Tim boy.
And Lou, he's precious, too. You're precious, Louis.
And you're precious, too, Tim and George.
What in God's green earth? How come every time I walk in here with matters of the utmost importance, Frick and Frack are doing something weird? I'm leaving.
What is that about?
That's Colonel Raffaele. He's a big pain anyway.
This precious thing worked. Thanks, Doctor.
Yeah, thanks, Doc.
Stay tuned for The Lone Ranger, the FBI, Ozzie and Harriet, and Hear It Now with Edward R. Murrow. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and none of us really kicked the bucket. For Lou Martin, this is Tim Michaels wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1951, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Al Katz, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1951 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.